The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. I just want to note that I have not been saying, okay, welcome back to the Small Biz
Ahead. Okay. All right, fair enough.
I've been really trying, but we all have those little, like, ticks.
Yes.
Like, those little, like, crutches, words that we fall back on.
My wife picks up along that a lot when we travel, and we were in Milwaukee. We were in Wisconsin for, like, a few days. And she was like, do you ever notice everybody here says, okay, okay. And I'm like, I don't even notice that, but I guess they do.
Do they have it's a one Wisconsin thing.
Like that? Oh, I don't know. You know, in Philly, I don't notice those things, but I know Philadelphia's got its own sort of dialect.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Yo, kind of thing.
Yeah, you say that all the time.
Do I? No, I don't.
But you definitely have a mid-Atlantic
I
accent.
I do. When I speak around the country and I'm speaking to like business owners and they're from like Nebraska or like, you know, I know they're looking at me like this guy is from New York or Philly. You know what I mean? It just seems really obvious and just how fast I'm talking and whatever. So.
And everybody always talks about like the Boston accent's really distinctive.
That is
the New
distinctive.
York accent.
Yeah.
I feel like that mid-Atlantic, like Philly, yeah. Maryland, Delaware, it's not as distinctive.
They merge into each other.
Yeah, but it definitely, there are a few words that when you say them, I'm like, oh man, that does not sound
it's
right.
It's East Coast. That's right. That's right. That's funny.
Oh my gosh. All right. We are going to be right back with our first question. Actually, our only question. We're changing the format of the podcast so they're a little faster. So this is going to be our only question, but we will have a word of brilliance. This is about working with your spouse.
Would you like for your next major business purchase to be paid for by credit card rewards points? Learn how you might be able to do that in Small Biz Ahead's new ebook, The Ultimate Guide to Business Credit Cards. In this free ebook, you'll learn how you can rack up rewards points for your next major business purchase or personal vacation, how you can use business credit cards so they won't affect your personal credit, and even how to keep employees from using their work credit cards for personal use. Just head over to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to get your free ebook today.
Okay, Gene, this question is going to be just for you because I know you did work with your spouse
yes.
in the past.
Yes. This and I have the scars to prove it.
Still, this is from
Lori. Still walking a limp.
Lori does not tell us what kind of business she runs, but here's her question. I work with my spouse in a small business. My husband doesn't want to talk about the future as much as I do. How can I learn to accept that the future of our business will be up to me without getting irritated with my husband?
Wow. First of all, we're like, this is like more of a marital advice. You're talking to the wrong person here. I mean, I've met lots of people that are in family businesses. We've got the spouses working together. My wife worked for me for like 3 years.
With you?
That's a good question. She worked for me, but she never works for, God forbid you would ever say that to your spouse that you're working for.
Is she
going to
listen to this?
She would agree with this. I mean, she was doing like marketing. It was after she had left Ernst & Young. She was there for like 7 years. Then we were like bringing up kids and kids got to a certain age. She started working with me, helping out with like marketing and accounting, you know, as well. And she just hated it. And her only reason for hating it was actually brought up the point was it was a for me issue. Like she wasn't, it's like she was working for me for Gene. And it was like, what is it? Like on my own. I don't know. She wanted her own thing. You know what I mean? And
totally understandable.
Totally. So she went to graduate school and got her master's in education. And now she's a teacher and she's a professional. And she's quite proud. She's doing really well doing that. So, you know, spouse working together isn't always, it's got to be right for both spouses. The relationships that I've seen where spouses work together, really any family member is when it really is kind of clear. When it's really clear what your responsibilities are.
I was going to say that. Like, even just at home in any relationship, like, I do this and you do that.
That's the way we operate it. Like, you know, like in our house, she does the bills, you know, and I take out the trash. You know what I mean? And I, you know, like, there's just certain things that we just, you own it. So, and what was the name of this person who asked the question? I apologize, Lori. So, Lori, you're saying, like, if your husband is not, you know, doesn't have the same goals as me or not, you know, as you're, and you're not looking ahead as much or whatever, they're really, you know, in your business, you know, because it's a business. business. It's a livelihood. I mean, you may have employees, people that rely on you. The two of you guys have got to work out what your responsibilities are.
Yeah, I think so.
And maybe you're the visionary and he is doing the services or he's doing the sales or whatever it is. You've got to determine what your roles are in your business and agree on that. And then you own it. And I think that's the way you get over that problem. Everything doesn't have to be a joint decision, as long as you're looking after your own stuff.
I think a lot of times people do, and this is in any work environment, they do resent when someone gets so stuck in the day-to-day and they can't really see the future.
Correct.
Like, that's fine that you're doing this now, but what about in, 10 years when robots take over all of our jobs? Like, we need to be prepared for that.
Correct.
And I think that is a little isolating when you're looking forward and the other person is just not, just not interested in doing that.
But you know what I've learned? Different people have different strengths. That's
yes.
all. And what we were talking about this to a client of mine right now. They're going to like get rid of their HR person. And we were saying like, well, before you get rid of that HR person, she's not very good at HR, but does she have other strengths that she could be useful to the company? And so getting back to Lori's situation, she's the visionary. That's what she likes to do. And she's strong at it. I'm sure her husband does other stuff very well.
Yeah.
So you just, you draw the lines and you say, all right, listen, you're really great at this, so you do that and I'll take care of, the direction that we're going in.
Do you have any clients that are spouses working together that it works well?
Yeah. I mean, I've actually quite a few where it works well. It's weird. So everybody's going to yell because it's going to sound like sexist or whatever, but I'm just telling you what reality is. When I see most spouses that I work together, it's your family run businesses. It's usually like the guy that's running it and the wife is doing the finances and the accounting. I've seen that a lot.
So the husband's still doing more of the selling?
The selling and the operations and really running the business, and the wife is keeping track of the cash. And because the wife's doing that, she has a more flexible role so that she can be home for the kids after school and she can whatever. And again, you would think things would have changed, and they have changed, but this is what I'm seeing in reality. A lot of businesses that I see are like that.
There's a name for
that.
It's called the second shift, that women work and then they go home. So they work all day. And then they go home and then they're still the primary.
And the men sit on their you-know-whats watching TV saying, I guess it's my wife's. I mean, it's kind of like even now when you look at even commercials nowadays. So my wife and I always notice this, like when you see the cleaning commercials or whatever, it's always the woman that's going, oh, those darn kids tracking mud through the kitchen again, and it's always like a woman that's doing it in 2017. You think to yourself, so I don't know. That's when I see, getting back to Lori's situation, it's when I've seen spouses work together, I've usually seen as the guy that's running the show. But if she's the one that's running the show, which is great. Again, repeating myself, they got to decide what the responsibilities are.
Yeah, you got to figure out what to put him in charge of and then hold him accountable for that.
Right. Mutually agree on that.
Okay, we're back in a minute with our word of brilliance.
Awesome.
Did you know that more than half of the small and mid-sized businesses that fall victim to a data breach close within 6 months? It's true. And it's not just big businesses that are targets for data breaches. Small businesses are actually more likely target because of their lower security. Luckily, Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, How to Safeguard Your Small Business from Data Breaches, will help explain all the ways you can help protect your company from data theft. You'll learn about daily habits that could be exposing you to a breach, how to help protect company and customer data and credit card information, how to train your employees to help prevent breaches, and what to do if a breach happens. Go to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
Welcome back. We're going to hear this week's word of brilliance from Gene.
Two words. It's the two words are Bill Gates.
Okay.
Wrote about this recently.
I've heard of him.
Yes, the former CEO of Microsoft. This is a story of when Bill Gates took a tech support call.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
It was kind of a well-known story back in the day, and then people forgot about it. And I wrote about it again, and it got a lot of action online. And it was back in 1989. Microsoft, not the behemoth that it is today, but it was still like an $800 million a year company. They opened up a whole new tech support system, a whole new building with it and whatever. And it was fascinating. Bill Gates got a tour of it, and he was just getting a tour of the new system with all the tech support stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
And one day he tapped one of the support agents and said, hey, do you mind if I take this next call? The support agent was like, sure, you're Bill Gates, whatever you want. And Bill Gates...
What if he said,
can you imagine? No, I got this, dude. Yeah, move on, okay? And Bill Gates, so he takes the headset, he sits down. Somebody calls in. They have a problem. You know, they have a tech support issue with Windows. Go figure, a tech support issue with Windows. But okay, so they have a tech support issue with Windows. And Bill Gates, like, you know, hi, he called himself Bill. Let me see if I can help you. He's very polite. Did followed all the procedures. Looked it up on Microsoft's new knowledge base that they had. And, like... solve the problem, you know, got, you know, whatever, got a thank you, all that kind of stuff. And the person was very happy and then said thanks very much and walked away. The person literally, it's true, called back a couple days later because they had like another small issue and they asked for that great tech support guy, Bill, that they talked to. And then they told him actually that was Bill Gates, you know, the CEO. And the point of the story was, which is fascinating, is that I do have many clients that they re-engage. You know, I have one client in particular. He had one woman in customer service go out for maternity leave. And so she was out for like 6 weeks. He just on a whim, he moved his office. He's the president of the company, moved his office to her cubicle and worked out of her cubicle for the entire 6 weeks.
What did he learn?
Everything about the company. I mean, people eventually, they were all like, whoa, you're a little taken aback and whatever. But everybody started relaxing and chilling out. He certainly got to know the customer service people better. He heard all the calls coming in. He overheard the conversation we're taking, but he got involved in some of the conversations. He became aware of some of the issues that his customers were having that he didn't
That's
even know about.
Idea.
It was fantastic. And it's the same thing as like Bill Gates. So I know it was only one call, but you know, the guy sat there and took a tech support call to hear the problem that was having and see for himself how the system was running. And I say that all the time. And I, not that I'm like such a great business owner or whatever, but I really do try to make it a point, like at least once or twice a month, to go out and see an existing client and just walk around and talk and take a look at the software that they're using.
What about taking like a customer service call or something?
Sure. Why not? If you're capable of doing that, you know, and Bill Gates wanted to prove that even he, because he's kind of removed from customer service, they had a knowledge base and they had a process, and he wanted to prove that even he, you know, with his rudimentary knowledge could do that. And he did. The CEO himself, the president, my client, he never took any customer service calls, but he was there if they were being taken and he was giving some advice.
So he knew what people were calling in.
Absolutely.
About.
And then he also wrote on the employee side. He got a sense of the employee. He had like four people in his customer service room, but people coming in and out all the time. And he's right there on the floor and he overhears stuff and he hears what some of the complaints are, problems that people are having or whatever. And he said it was an enlightening experience. And that was 10 years ago. He's never gone back to customer service. He now barricades himself inside his office. I'm just kidding. But no, that is, he really found that that experience helpful. So like Bill Gates, maybe all of us should take a moment out and re-engage on, on the battlefield.
So like we were talking about, we don't know what Lori's business is, but in the previous podcast, we were talking about Cindy, who owned a yoga studio.
Yes.
Like maybe Cindy takes a shift at the front desk.
Agreed.
Or answering the phones.
Right.
Because she's probably teaching classes.
That's right. Sometimes you get far removed from it.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, when you first start up your business, you were doing this stuff and you loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like why you started it from the beginning. So I know you're super busy and all of that, but you know, at the core of things, what's more important?
Yeah, definitely. All right, great advice. Okay, everyone, we'll talk to you next week on another episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.